Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. For the rest of the hour, we're joined by the two filmmakers behind a new documentary called Southwest Florida's Mangrove Coast. Elam and Nick Stoltzfus. It highlights the 40-year history of the Rookery Bay National Estuarine Research Reserve, including lots of stunning imagery of the nature and beauty of Southwest Florida. The film explores scientific work being done at Rookery Bay on things like mangroves, pythons, sea turtles, and other species through interviews and land managers, scientists, and local partners who discuss potential threats to the region as well as what's being done to protect Southwest Florida's mangrove coast for future generations. Elam and Nick, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you.
It's so great to have you both here. If you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Elam, how did this project come about?
It's a kind of a long, interesting story to my relationship to this area, and it began back in the 90s by a gentleman by the name of Bolton Drackett. Bolton Drackett owned Key Wading Island at that time, and he was in the process of selling it to the state. And one of the things that came out of that was an organization called the Key Wading Institute, which was a 501c3. So they'd set some money aside as an education. So they were looking for a filmmaker to come and help tell that story. And he ran across my name, and I still remember – I got this call from a guy named Bolton Drackett. And I didn't know who
that was.
That's
a name you pay attention to.
Well, I didn't. I'm from North Florida.
I don't know it either, but Bolton Drackett, that just sounds like a character in Harry Potter.
Well, he was from the Windex Drano family that invented that from Cincinnati. So, yes, you do pay attention. But I didn't know that. And he said, I want you to come work for me. I'm going to fly you down here. And I said, well, I got other work to do. I said, I'll come when I get there. So anyway, after I said, well, I'll be down there in February. I think this was in the fall, but I had something planned. I was doing some work at Corkscrew. Uh-huh. So I called Ed Carlson at Corkscrew and said, Ed,
this
phone call from Bolton Drackett. Is that something I should pay attention to? He said, Elam, you return his call, and yes, you do pay attention to him. I said, okay, Ed, I'll do that. So I called him back, and we made an agreement to meet, and he came out to Corkscrew and said, well, what is this Key Wading place all about anyway? So he took me there and he showed me, and it's like, wow, this is amazing.
When was this?
This was in the 90s, early 90s. And through that, he introduced me to Gary Litton. And of course, Gary Litton was the director of Rookery Bay and started a long relationship and friendship, and as well as a client. I did some of the early work there, and they were featured in several of my documentaries over the years, including Big Cypress, the Western Everglades, and I think a couple other projects I've done. And then when they built the Environmental Learning Center, it has a theater in there, so I've done all the films that have been there to date. So kind of a long history. So one of the things that's in this film is some old interviews of these gentlemen, such as Bolton Drackett and Dr. Bernie Yokels, that are no longer living.
Things that you didn't throw away that you still have.
Have never been used.
That's great.
Are now in the film.
How did you get involved in this, Nick?
Yeah, so I started working for my dad after I graduated from school at Florida State University. And so I've been working for him for 5 years now. And this is our third film that we've made together.
So tell me about Rookery Bay. I mean, from your perspective, for people who haven't been there, what's it like?
Rookery Bay it's awesome. It's, as one of the people that we interviewed says, it's magical. You know, just the sunrises, the sunsets, going out on your boat and seeing the birds flying into the rookeries. And so the place itself is beautiful. And then the story behind how it was preserved, it's a really cool story. And the local people here in Naples and Marco Island who banded together and worked to preserve 110,000 acres, that it's now in public ownership. It's ours. It's mine. It's yours. It's the public's. And it's a really inspirational story that's timeless. I think all of us, by watching this, can be inspired by, you know, look at what a small group of people can do when they come together and are passionate about a project.
Elam, do you think people understand the importance of mangroves along the coast?
I think we're learning. And one of those wake-up calls was Hurricane Irma. And that's the beginning of our story, is the importance of the mangrove forest, the mangrove coast, and how that buffers the hurricanes as they come in, of the onslaught that they can have. I want to make a comment, and you should ask the question for Nick, is he started coming here as a very young boy. I think I brought him here the first time when he was 4 years old. Ask him about his experiences over the years of Rookery Bay.
Do you remember when you were four?
Well, I do have a memory when I was about 8 or 9, and this is something that's in the documentary, is the importance of education at Rookery Bay. We feature it in the documentary of how the Collier County School System and Rookery Bay have this great partnership to educate local students in marine science. And although I wasn't a student in Collier County, I remember vividly coming down, going out on a boat tour, and they had caught a pufferfish. And so they were showing us that. And I was like, oh, this is the neatest thing. It was like Finding Nemo before Finding Nemo came out. And so the people who work at Rookery Bay are really passionate about what they do and educating the public about the resources we have.
Is it one of the top sites that you think that people who live or visit in this area need to get to?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely.
Yes,
and so this film, what is the film tells a story about the preservation of this area and the importance of the ecosystem, its importance to the ecosystem. How did you arc that story?
So the reason that we did the film when we did, it's featuring the 40-year history. So sort of the arc of the story is the 40-year history of the preserve, but then also if this 110 acres was not preserved, if it was all built, the entire coast, then, you know, when Hurricane Irma came through, it would have been absolutely devastating, you know, if you would have had, you know, all this houses and development along the coast.
I've had a lot of conversations on this show in which people compare our coast to the other coast, the East Coast, and they talk about salt water coming up in through the drains, you know, in parking garages and fish. And I think an octopus actually went up through a couple when I heard about that story and about how built out the other coast is versus our coast. Was it forward-thinking people who started 40 years ago that saved this coast from the same type of buildup that we saw on the other side?
Yes. And that's part of the story that we feature in the documentary, is you had a group of people who were visionaries who came together and worked to preserve Rookery Bay, worked to preserve, you know, as we say, the mangrove coast. And we can thank them for their envisioning that protection of our coast.
Well, there's that kind of foresight. But then, Elam, I understand that you were in the path of Hurricane Michael last year. How would that area compare?
Oh, Michael was just devastating. I mean, it was, you know, there were similar comparisons. We all have to deal with it. But Michael was like maybe times 10 of Irma, which was interesting because Nick had already written the script for the film, and the film starts out as Hurricane Irma or Hurricanes. So,
and now that you've just lived through Hurricane Michael, yeah, whatever.
Right. We were so we were actually editing it and already had started, and we were looking at some of the footage to put in there. Well, some of the footage that starts off is actually Hurricane Michael, close-ups from my front porch, which is kind of crazy and eerie, you know, while we were putting the film together. So, no, it was very firsthand. I did lose my studio during the storm, and so the film stopped. We were ahead of schedule. We were in the editing process. Most of it was shot, and we were going to have it finished by Christmas. Well, October 10, when Michael came knocking on our door, it stopped everything. And so it was about survival, taking care of our neighbors, our friends, and of course, ourselves. And about 2 months later, I came back to try to make the film, and I couldn't do it. It took a while. And then it became a passion project. So now when I look at the film and I think about the film, yes, it's about hurricanes. It's about what we have to do to take care of ourselves and protect what we have. You know, yeah, we can't control Mother Nature, and she is mighty and powerful, much more than we are. But
it doesn't mean don't get ready.
No. Yeah. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, you always get ready. I mean, and we
as
did.
Much as you
we
can.
Knew that. We knew that. But that's kind of like another whole story. But the vision that the Norrises and some of the other people had back in the 60s at birth, the Southwest Florida Conservancy, the partnerships they had with Audubon, the Nature Conservancy, to me, part of the story that makes Rookery Bay unique is those partnerships that happened in the 60s are still there today. Longevity of those relationships and partnerships and visions continue to grow. And I don't think those people had any idea when they said, well, let's by 2,000 acres and it became 6,000. And today it's 110,000 acres. What a legacy. And we can be extremely grateful for a vision. So part of this story is, you know, that little idea that you may have and you plant that seed or you put that in action, who knows what that looks like in 40 years.
So you have an event coming up next Tuesday, April 16th. It's at the Reserve. It's at noon, called Through the Eyes of the Filmmakers by Elim and Nick Stoltzfus, filmmakers at Live Oak Production Group. So if people are interested in learning more about that, they can find a link at gulfcoastlive.org, right?
Mm-hmm.
And where can people see this film?
It's going to be shown right here, WGCU, April 22nd at 9 o'clock.
Ooh, good
and
to know.
It's going across PBS all across the state.
Perfect. Well, that's all the time that we have for today's show, but I want to thank my guest. Elim Stoltzfus is an environmental documentary filmmaker who concentrates on documenting special places and people of Florida. Elim, thanks for being with us.
You're quite welcome.
And Nick Stoltzfus is a writer and photographer, Elim's son. Nick, thanks to you as well.
Thank you.
Their new documentary, Southwest Florida's Mangrove Coast, will air on WGCU at 9 p.m. on Monday, April 22nd. That will be on Earth Day. Through the Eyes of the Filmmakers by Elim and Nick Stoltzfus will be on April 16th. At the Reserve. And I want to thank my earlier guest, News Press environmental reporter Amy Bennett Williams. If you missed part of today's show, you can always hear episodes in their entirety on our website, gulfcoastlive.org, or you can subscribe to our podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary and myself. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM Fort Myers 90.1, WMKO Marco Island 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.